Morning, Justin.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
I'm well.
Yeah? I'm glad to hear that.
How are you?
I am also well, thank you. Yes, indeed.
So, you got a surprise topic for us.
Nah, it's not really a surprise. I don't think it's a surprise. Well, it might be for you. Because if you don't know, it might be. But
if you didn't know, it'd genuinely be a surprise.
That's correct.
We should do that sometime.
We just put them in a hat. Just put some topics in a hat and just pull out.
Or maybe we get some listener submitted topics.
Oh, yeah.
To like
somewhere.
And then we pull that out of a hat.
That would be fun.
That would be a surprise.
That would be a surprise. That would be a genuine surprise.
Yeah. I would enjoy that.
Yes, it would. And it's funny, when I talk with people, I get lots of
ideas. Topic suggestions.
Yeah, I do.
We need a suggestion box.
Oh.
You know.
Get IT on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was interesting, as I was thinking about topics, it's like there's a part of me, well, I have a feeling, okay, and it's even a thought. In some ways, I'm thinking we may be abdicating some of our responsibilities lately. We've kind of been doing a little soft serve, if you will. You follow me? And I was curious what your take would be on politics in general. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
Because I think a lot has happened since we've started the podcast on a political scene that we haven't necessarily discussed. And I think for me personally, I've sensed that, you know, maybe that if we're want to be modeling the ability to talk about polarizing topics, that has to be one.
Yeah.
And that was just a sense that I brought this morning and, you know, through the evening as I've been thinking about this. It's like, okay, we've got, you know, January 6th committee, we've got Roe v. Wade. You know, we've got, you know, variants and all those things that have kind of happened since we've started the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I'm not saying politics drives all those things. And I think we need to be able to separate the difference between, you know, government, politics, but I think they're also connected. So I'm curious what your take is. You okay? What your take is on politics in general. And then I'm okay to go to some of the more specific dynamics of, you know, things that have transpired since on a political realm. And I'm just curious what your political views would be if you had to describe them.
Well, I'm glad you bring this up. Just because, I think for me, a big genesis for this podcast for me was politics.
Agreed.
You know, what was the whole President Trump, you know, race and kind of the polarizing.
Are you a Trumpy?
Right. No, I just wanted to make America great again. Wait, is that the bad thing to say? I don't know.
Yeah,
it was.
Because you can say a name. I don't mean to interrupt, but in our culture right now, you can say a name. You can say Trump. You can say Biden. And suddenly, there's a defensiveness at times you can feel in a situation.
Yeah. And I think depending on how you say that name, whether you use like an angry tone or a critical tone or a positive tone, like it's just that can send you in a polarized pocket, you know, based on who's listening to you.
Yes.
And it's like you're never getting out of that jail of you support that person or you don't. And
yes.
Yeah. It's wow. Yeah. I'll say this to be 100% honest and truthful about the topic. I don't pay attention to politics much anymore.
Okay.
And that was largely due to those last couple of races where I ran out of energy for it, for hearing it all, for trying to figure out who's the villain and who's the hero, you know?
Yeah.
And it didn't seem possible to me to find, let me put it this way. It didn't seem that there was a source of truth that could be trusted.
A credible source.
Because each source that I know of,
okay,
from how I see it,
yeah,
is, you know, fundamentally geared to push or support one direction or another.
Yeah.
Based on funding, based on whatever fundamental beliefs, because we are so polarized as people, we naturally gravitate towards institutions that support, you know, the side that we support, et cetera, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if you grew up in, you know, let's say the Northeast and, I don't know, whatever, liberal type family, and, you know, you want to go to get some education, you're going to head towards an Ivy League school, you're going to head towards certain ones like, I want to say Berkeley, I want to say whatever, mm-hmm. right? Different ones that are very specifically liberal because mm-hmm. they are the right people, right? They have the mm-hmm. right ideas. And then once you get out of that, you're going to go work for a publication, right? That's on that side of things. And that's, we just have such a perfectly geared system in America to just find your, you know, either your left or your right side and stay in that track the rest of your life.
So it's a continuation of the polarizing perspective that genesis that you referred to.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem to necessarily get better with time.
Right. And I grew up Republican. That was my family. That was kind of like that's, you know. And there's so many values and ideals on the Republican side that I agree with. Mm-hmm. And conservatism is a big example. But even that, you know, has a very polarizing, mm-hmm. you know, every term that's been used to describe as a good thing on one side, the other side is tried to rub it in the mud in one way or another. Mm-hmm. So like conservatism represents bigotry, represents whatever, hating gay people, right? Sure. Like, if I agree with the principle of conservatism, then I must hate gay people. And
you're some kind of phobe.
Yeah. Yep. Phobia. Yeah. Exactly. But then what I've found as I've gotten older and as I've understood and heard more of the other side, that there's some stuff on that side I agree with too, but I'm not allowed to, right? It's like, you gotta stick to your lane, you know, I don't know. And it just became more and more confusing to me. That, not confusing, disheartening, that there isn't a way to vote. Like, basically you're told if you vote what you believe in, it doesn't matter because, it, you know, it's like if you vote independent, for instance.
Okay.
It doesn't matter because you're just throwing your vote away and everyone that's, like, for instance, on the side, whatever. They're like, you're throwing your vote away. You need to vote on our side so that we don't lose. Your vote
really matters.
Right.
Yeah, because somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose.
Yep. And it's not going to be your guy.
Yeah. You know?
So that's a quick overview of just some of my disenfranchisement with politics in general. But specific topics I'm happy to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I guess that's a part of it, you know, when I think about it, if you're willing to admit, and I'm willing to admit that same thing regarding a disenfranchisement with politics. And I think, you know, there is this distancing, if you will. And I think that's sad. In my perspective, that, you know, it's, and I, as I was kind of tending to think about it a little bit, it's almost like, I see it in some ways like people who I would say it's an older version of how people used to view pastors or the church. It's like we hire this individual to be the pastor and, you know, and lead the church. And then, but that person's just kind of over there and they're not necessarily a part. I'm not saying that's accurate. I'm not saying that's the way it should be, but I think that's how I tend to view politics. In other words, we elect these politicians, they go to Washington, or, and I'm not saying there isn't important. And I think it's the neat part for me is I'm more connected to local politics to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. But when it gets to a, you know, a national level, it's like DC, that kind of thing. And it's, and I can understand maybe some of the frustrations because it does seem as if government or politics are removed from the average individual, as I see myself. You follow me? And I think that's a sad thing. I don't think that's any, I don't think that's the way our forefathers intended it to be.
Right.
You know, that they're, and granted, here again, we can bring that a church model to it. You know, it's almost like a mega church type dynamic as a, you know, we can look back and say, yeah, the forefathers intended it to be this way. And yet, the United States is so much bigger now and government is so much bigger than I think our forefathers intended it to be. Mm-hmm. And I think in some ways that leads to that disconnect that we describe, and especially when it gets more and more polarizing. And I think that's where I was coming back to. I'm not sure that I'm going to speak for myself, should be distancing myself from it. From politics in some ways, even though that's my sense. Mm-hmm. You follow me from a character standpoint, because I'm recognizing that that's a part of my tendency as well, is to say, okay, it really doesn't matter, but I think it does matter. Mm. So how do I actually engage the process in a way that seems to matter?
Yeah.
You follow me in that?
Yeah. So the idea is that you're maybe not quite comfortable with the position that you've been fading into, of like kind of
abdicating responsibility from my perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a strong how I see it right there.
It is.
Abdicate. Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. I think. Yeah. I have lots of thoughts about that. I think for me personally, I've started to understand my responsibility to be, again, how I see it. Mm-hmm. My perspective has been all of the energy and time I spent in politics was wasted for me, because the points I was trying to make, or the agendas I was trying to drive, were met with derision or whatever, because the people who are on my side, they didn't need to hear that, and they weren't, you know, gonna jump on or whatever. And the people who, you know, I thought needed to hear it simply met it with like, oh my goodness, let me share how wrong you are, you know. Yes. And it was like, wait, what am I doing here? Like, what am I trying to prove? What am I trying to push for, and for what? Like, that I'm simply getting into a place where I'm creating arguments, and that's not something I'm interested in. And this has to do with my way of doing what I was doing. I'm not saying what I was doing is right. You know, social media, all that stuff, right?
Okay. I hear you now. I understand where you're coming from.
And I recognize, like, you know what my responsibility is to my family, to the people I lead here, and what I can do is train up my children the way they should go, so when they get old, they don't depart from it. Mm-hmm. And the people that I meet with on a regular basis in terms of accountability or sponsorship, those kinds of things, I can work with them and their families and their, you know, in the, I can work in the micro.
Sure.
And trust that this will bleed out into the macro. Like,
I hear you.
You know, basically trust God to use whatever I'm doing here to mean something beyond right here. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think about it, and I, as you were sharing, I think for a long time, well, probably more till recently, I think my view of government, if you will, politics, that kind of thing, was that it is this dinosaur of sorts that basically every 4 years there's a, you know, an election. And by the time that 4 years, possibly 8 years is up, they're really, this dinosaur hasn't necessarily been able to move that far that quickly in that 4 or 8 years. You follow me to where it's still kind of heading in the same general direction, maybe a little shift this way, but ultimately that will shift back, you know, or shift to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, more so recently, you know, I've seen, you know, and I'll just say, you know, with the, you know, executive privilege, you know, and decisions being made, you know, at a certain level, as I see it, I think my concern that the dinosaur is turning quicker because it's not necessarily as governmentally driven. You follow me? From a political side's perspective of balancing and check and balance.
Yeah.
I see that process as being short-circuited to a certain degree. And that concerns me. And then I think about it from that aspect of, okay, how does today, or what are the decisions, what decisions of today are going to have a greater impact on my children and my children's children to that degree? And I think that's a little more of where my personal, you know, desire to be a little more involved, to be a little more aware is coming from. Because I think there is this kicking the can type mentality that gets to a point where it just rests on my grandchildren's shoulders. And I feel a sense of, it's not obligation, but a sense of duty, maybe, to be doing things that I can today to avoid just kicking the can to my grandchildren tomorrow and them saying, you know, someday this conversation in my mind, well, what did you do about that?
Yeah.
You follow? And, and I think that's where the whole thing is coming from for me, because I see, and it seems as if the viewpoint of the dinosaur I had seems to be changing. Things seem to be moving quicker than what I remember them being. And maybe that's just a process of aging for me. You follow me in that, in that sense. And so, and maybe even just that, that sense of duty, you know, I think about it more from a generational standpoint than I probably ever did before. But I think, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the impact I have, I don't want to necessarily be abdicating my responsibility on a larger level if I have.
And I
think, you know, we can get to that point where we look at government as being so big that, you know, we don't have responsibility, you know, not responsibility. We have responsibility, but we don't have. And control isn't the right word. I'm just looking.
Power.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I think, and that's, and in some cases, I think that's how many people feel.
Yeah.
I don't think we're, you know, you and I are alone in that. I think there is that sense of, well, I would do something, but I don't think it would make a difference.
Yeah.
And
I would love to know from you as, you know, as you feel like you want to take back this responsibility versus abdicating, what are some of the things that you think you can and should do to help with that? And I'll just clarify my earlier statements. I certainly don't think my position, I don't want, I hope not everyone in the world, you know, takes that position or won't have any, you know, yeah, I think there are people who are meant to be in the space and meant to be doing it. And I just felt like, you know what? I don't think I'm one of those people, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know? But that being said, I love the idea of someone like a Mark being in that space. I'm serious. Like, and I think of some of our local politicians. We had Jason Disbrow on, and just hearing his heart, I'm like, yes, I'm glad this guy's around doing what he does. Yes. And I'm glad he's not like me. And I'm glad he got into it and he got passionate. He got involved and he it has the ability. He has some power to do, make some changes. That is just, I'm so thankful that there are many, many people like that in the world. Because there also is, to balance that, there is a contingency of people who are in it for the ambitious side. And, you know, no, I don't know any of them personally. So it's easy to kind of sling that and say, I think this is what it is. And just dirty politicians everywhere. But
right.
At the same time, you know that there is certainly a portion of politicians right and left who are in it for the wrong reasons.
Occupation.
Yes. Yes. So I guess my point is I want there to be a balance to that with people who have that integrity, people who may not share all my same viewpoints. But as a whole, I think I'm glad this person's doing what they're doing. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
Long-winded way.
Well, no, I think I appreciate that because I never want it to come across that I don't want it to come across that I'm scared, that I'm fearful. I mean, yes, I have concerns, you know, that our tendency as humans is to say, okay, we don't need God and we want to eradicate, you know, him from everything government, even though our you know, mottos are in God we trust type thing. So I just want to recognize I'm not fearful. This is a personal thing for me that I think I'm wrestling with. How do I, you know, assert, if you will? I don't have to become aggressive, but I'm recognizing that I shouldn't just be passive either.
So again, what are some of those ways? And is this podcast one of those ways?
Is definitely one of those ways for me. And I think, you know, I understand where you're coming from on the sources. How do we find credible sources, you know, to understand what is true? And I also agree that there are people who are passionate about politics and they are, you know, representing, you know, me, you, all of us well, you know, in that sense, they are doing a great job at, you know, being congressmen and representatives and that kind of thing. And I would dare say even people who may have differing views than I do are still doing a great job at what they were elected to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of America from my perspective.
Yeah.
Is it's not perfect, but it certainly is the first runner.
I love I think it was Benjamin Franklin's quote, which is, you know, democracy is the worst government in all the world, except for all the other ones.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. No,
it's proven to be, you know, in our experience as Americans to be absolutely true. It is the worst one, except for all the others. And we benefited from it being the best of the worst.
Yeah.
But also we see the cracks. We see the, you know, dinosaur footprints. We see, you know, the guy at the head of the dinosaur yanking it left and right. We see all these things, right?
Yes.
But at the same time.
That'd be good, one of those good little editorial cartoons.
Like a New Yorker cartoon. Yeah. I don't know, New Yorker.
Yeah, different people on the head of the dinosaur kind of pulling out the ears, weighing it off. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good little... Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to digress, but I did.
I would like to see you draw that cartoon.
Yeah, well, I'm not the person.
That'll be in the show notes.
That's exactly. That's not my my ability.
That's not how you're gonna start working on this.
That's right. And I appreciate that what you shared to the fact that, you know, we have our areas. You're great, Justin. You know, you're not Mark. And I'm a good Mark, but I'm not Justin. So I think there is something to be said for, okay, what am I personally responsible for? And if that is for you, if that is, you know, to enter into politics, you know, then you got my support. But at the same time, I am wrestling with, you know, short of my duty, I get there again, to vote. I think, you know, that voting does matter. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, and I think there are, you know, yeah, we can hear the mantras that say, well, your vote doesn't count, that kind of thing. And I think that's a defeatist way. I'm about to sneeze, Justin.
Do it. Bless you. We are not going to edit that out.
Okay, that's okay. Might be a couple more that follow, but I think I'm good. I think I'm good now.
You know,
politics.
You
does
do
that.
What you got.
I'm allergic. I'm allergic.
I hear that,
but it's not something.
I hear you.
I heard that. I heard that. So yes, that being said, that's how I see it, mm-hmm. and I want us to be able to have conversations.
Yes.
That are able to recognize. Okay, yeah. How do we deal with certain topics? And I think some of it, I like the point you bring up in that context of feeling defensive, you know, when certain names, when certain topics are brought up. And I do think from my perspective, you know, that's the part that I want to start working on for me personally. Is when I'm faced with that, when that comes up, I'll typically say, help me understand that.
Yeah.
What is it?
So if I understand you correctly, you have a desire to work on the impulse of feeling defensive with certain topics or names?
Yes.
Or what do you, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And it was interesting. And I might have even said this, you know, early, because it was I would say it's a gift. Okay. I have a gift to remember things for a long time.
Okay.
Sometimes maybe too long, but I definitely try to keep short accounts in that sense of forgiveness and that kind of thing. Yeah. But, I do have the ability to remember conversations for a long time. And I did happen to have I remember a lady that I was talking with in her home, you know, she was talking about voting straight party ticket.
Okay.
And it happened to be at the time that, you know, Jason Disbro was running for his office. And, I can remember being in their home and she said, you know, I just voted straight party ticket. Because I couldn't vote under the Trump administration. I'm just putting that out there. Under the Trump administration, she could not bring herself to vote for a Republican.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not saying I agree with that perspective, but I recognize that's where she was.
That's how she saw it. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Because she...
Her in half the country.
Yeah.
30%. I don't know. Let's do a poll.
Exactly. But at the same time, I can remember that conversation, you know.
Yeah.
And it happened to come up that, you know, we were talking about that we were doing a podcast. And all of a sudden, in the back of my mind, I'm reminded of her voting. And I said, if you don't mind, I said, I can remember a time when we talked about politics. And I have built a relationship with this individual, you know, to the point of being able to say, I can remember a time when you did not vote or you voted straight ticket, you know, you said you didn't know the individual. So you just stayed with the party line. Which I understood. If we don't know someone,
right?
Why would? But it just so happened that I can remember we had Jason on, and at that point, that podcast had released, and it was an interesting thing for me because having had that conversation, I was able to say, "Yeah." And so here's this individual. I'm not saying you have to listen to our podcast, but if there's a desire for you to get to know him and hear his heart so you do know him, here's an opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
And for me, that was an opportunity that I felt led to.
Right.
Because I'd had, and I think that's the thing. I want to be starting to engage this polarization wherever I see it. And I think that's what even brings up the topic, because I think in some ways, you know, you and I have to be able to talk about politics. Yes. Yep. May we still have some alignment? Well, likely so. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think we have to be aware that when other people, and I'm not saying that in a judgmental sense, but when we recognize a polarity, we have to be able to kind of walk into that.
Yeah.
And even to a certain degree, check who I am. Because I don't think it's always about win and lose. And I think some of it is about the ability to have the conversation in a way that creates understanding. Because I think in some cases we are at a point where everybody has a talking point, and those talking points tend to be polarizing. You know, and I think it's a matter of understanding and getting to know. And granted, are we going to change people? No, because I don't think that should be our intent. I think our intent should be to know and try to understand. And I think they're like you were saying about the influence we have on our children. I think that is a powerful thing as well. When we desire to know someone and they understand that is our intent is to know versus to try and change. I think that's an important difference.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's just so many thoughts, you know.
Well, go with it.
The last one that came into my mind is just thinking about Jesus and his ministry, his 3 years here. He didn't have time for politics. He had time for he was very focused, right?
Sure.
For obvious reasons. And
he didn't have time for politics.
Okay, that's my how I see it. I see. I'd love to hear your perspective on that. But for me, he was about his kingdom. He was about building his kingdom, not about. And so when they would come to him with questions about politics, he would answer them in such a way that they, quote unquote, marveled at his, I forget what the word was,
smartness. His teaching. His basically yeah, his exactly. teaching. Like, he taught like,
wow, I can't respond back to that. So good.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you do about taxes? We're in an occupied country, you know, and we're occupied people, and we're, you know, in some ways violently occupied. And what are we supposed to do about that? And he said, well, bring me a coin. You see that picture? This it's got a picture of Caesar. It says, so give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to, you know, to God what's God's or whatever. And it was just, to me, that's essentially how that version of Jesus, how I see it of Jesus is how I want to be personally. It doesn't mean that's how I want my kids to be, although I also recognize how that works, right? That what you model and all that. But there are answers for politics that are about his kingdom.
Sure.
And so those are the answers that I want to be about. And it's much easier for me to hold to that party line, right? The kingdom.
Yeah.
It's much easier for me to put the perspective of United States politics, put that into perspective when I'm thinking about a kingdom that supersedes that. Does that make sense? And so then the parties don't matter, because what matters is truth and, you know, righteousness. And in some cases, you know, this party's going to do what I think is right. In some cases, this party is right. And yeah.
And so, that being said, I would still wrestle with that whole kingdom dynamic, you know, and you're fully aware, you know, when we think of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come.
Yeah.
And I would see that in those three parts. His kingdom in my life, he gets to rule and operate in my personal life, and therefore I do what he asks me to do on a daily basis, whether that is politics, whether that's being involved in politics, whether that's not being involved in politics, you know, that's for me personally. And, and, you know, part of his kingdom is his ability to reign in my life. And yet I also see that from the, you know, the evangelistic side, that we can bring kingdom to earth. You know, we are to, you know, as we live out, you know, his kingdom, we bring his kingdom here.
Right.
And yet he also has the eternal kingdom, heaven, that he rules over where, you know, everybody is saying, holy, holy, holy. So I guess I see that and I'm recognizing that more so that governmental part is the second part where I'm still a part of sharing truth, sharing, having relationship. And I guess that's where I, when you said Jesus wasn't involved in politics, I think he was, but it wasn't, it didn't consume him. And I think we're probably still saying the same thing. He was very much, not engrossed, but you know,
embedded
in a political dynamic. Mm-hmm. You follow me? And I think that's the beauty of history when we look back to be able to recognize the politics of the time that influenced the circumstance. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I'm coming from is I want to be about the things that God is personally calling me to on a national, you know, personal local level. And granted, yes, as it gets bigger, I probably have less power. But at the same time, I don't want to be abdicating that responsibility. Mm-hmm. I want to be engaging it in a way that I feel is God-led.
Yeah. To go back to the practicals of, you know, how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
I personally like the idea, you know, of this podcast being a part of that. And I think for me, that is a way to, well, two things. Number one, help you honor your responsibility.
Even if you don't have that same responsibility, that's okay. Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't, but I am, but that, but also that it is an opportunity for me, you know, for my perspective in that conversation. And I think that very balances, hopefully, why people listen here, right? Is hopefully
beyond my ability to understand.
Yeah. Because I am not about avoiding the conversations or avoiding the topics. It's just that for me, I certainly don't. It feels embarrassing to say I'm trying to be like Jesus and not, you know, like, that's why I'm avoiding politics. That's not what I mean. I just feel like for me, the way I see Jesus and the way the version of his ministry here and what he was about, I can get behind. It's much easier for me to embrace that.
Sure.
What's really difficult for me is when I have a conversation with a good friend and they say, have you heard about... And it's a, you know, political topic. And I'm like, no, tell me about it. Well, this is happening. And then this happened. And then this. And it's like, I instantly go, I don't believe them. Why? Because they're quoting a source that I don't know and I don't believe. Because I don't, there's just, that whole world is so muddy. And finding truth in that world is so impossible. To me, how I see it. And it's like, you know, we can have this conversation at the same time. I'm not necessarily going to believe everything you're saying, not because I don't believe you, but I don't know that I believe your sources or their sources or their sources.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, no, you don't understand. It's written right here. Da, 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 da. You can see proof. Here's some pictures. And I'm like, okay. That's happened so many times in my life in this world of politics to where then the other side shows me the same pictures, the same whatever, but it's proving the other side. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. We're in trouble. You know? Yeah. Like,
and that's where people disengage.
Yeah.
Is that not where you tend to disengage the process? Yeah,
absolutely. Because it's how am I to know? And oh, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
If I may, not to digress, but to continue the conversation, what would be one of those topics that tends to...
One example is the border and the families detained at the border.
Sure.
I mean, those things... I don't know what's truth in all of that, but what I know is I hate the idea of us... taking families and tearing them apart and holding some parts of the family in ridiculously stupid holding areas no matter what that looks like. To me, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard so many versions of, well, you know, they're villains. Here's why. Like, this is a child. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
I hear you.
What do you have to do to get to the point where you're this? You have to villainize children in order to agree with what's been happening. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I know that there was some illegal activity. I know they're trying to cross. I'm like, well, you know, if I was in their shoes, that'd probably be me.
I hear you.
I'd probably be trying to cross.
You would grab a child.
No. Sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm not.
That's a good thing you're clarifying here. No, I'm saying
that would be me. I'd grab a child and I'd walk
towards. In Mexico.
Okay.
And my hope is gone for my country, and I see this land of opportunity, and I see a chance, just a glimmer of a chance, that my kids can grow up in that opportunity. And maybe time's running out for me, and maybe I'll just be a construction, and that's fine. I can do that, but just the idea that my kids maybe can have some of that hope, get some of that goodness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I'm going to try and cross the border illegally, and you're going to villainize me, and it's okay because it's worth it for what the opportunities that maybe my kids can have, right? Or maybe, and I'm not saying this is right, but maybe I bring some, you know, drug, whatever, payload with me because that's my way. That's what the cartel said I had to do to get across, and I said, I might go to hell for this, but my kids, the opportunity for my kids. Again, I'm not saying, hopefully I wouldn't do that.
Folks, I just want you to know there's a lot of passion in Justin's eyes as he's saying this. You can definitely.
I'm just saying we so quickly turn our brains off to that perspective.
The complexity.
Say, yeah, the complexity, and just say these are bad people trying to get into our, you know, perfectly manicured garden. And when they come over here, they mess it up. And I'm like, yeah, but maybe there's truth to that. And I'm not saying there's not. And I've heard all growing up how, you know, the people coming across the border are basically taking jobs from farmers or whatever. They lowball the workers, right? So they come in, they get all the construction jobs, the painting jobs, whatever, because they're willing to work at a rate that we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been hearing that since as early as I can remember, sure. Right? And I see it. I see that they are taking those jobs. They have those jobs. But I've been alive for almost 40 years, and it seems like we're doing okay despite that.
Mm.
It seems like we just figure it out. We adjust. And, of course, there's maybe someone listening goes, no, I lost my job because of that. Mm. It definitely impacted me, and I'm angry about it. And I go, yeah, that sucks. Yeah, like, there's a story there, too. And I'm not saying that. But we so quickly just want to say, it's either that story or it's this story. They can't both be true.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you. And I'm not saying that because I don't agree. I'm saying that in the sense of there is a complexity.
Yeah.
And to say it's as simple as a wall may be beneficial. But at the same time, I think a wall can be beneficial in the sense of the people in that geographic location are definitely being impacted.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? Mm-hmm. When you're in the States.
To be clear, I'm not even necessarily talking about the wall as much as
immigration.
I don't know what I'm talking about. It started with the actual. That conversation several years ago where they were putting kids, you know, separating kids and holding them. And that's what really just got to me.
Yeah. You know? And I think at that time.
But I'm not opposed to a wall, and I'm not opposed to, like, that's an interesting topic of conversation. But it's like, well, in order to support the wall, I have to villainize these children.
Yeah, I'm hearing
and then
where
I'm like, come on, do we have to do that?
Yeah.
Can we not agree that this is terrible and we also need a wall?
No, I'm hearing where you're coming from. And I think that's the part that gives me your passion actually helps motivate my passion in that sense of, yes, it's more complex than we want to admit.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we, you know, get real solutions in place, not antiquated talking points?
Yeah.
That basically, you know, Guantanamo Bay and all that stuff, you know, that because in some cases, yes, those things have been around a long time. So if we're talking about an antiquated system, then we need to recognize, yes, we need to do something different. And I think mm-hmm. sometimes our tendency is to, well, it was good enough for then. What makes it different than it needs to be now? And I think, you know, there's a lot of complexities to that. It's like, does a wall answer it? No. But I also recognize, like I was saying, you know, if I'm living in the United States mm-hmm. and I'm fearful for my family, you know, based on that villainization,
right,
you know, I'm understanding that perspective. Because if I'm living in North Carolina, mm-hmm. New York State, Michigan, whatever, what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? What's the big deal? You know, so a few people are coming across. Well, they're not coming across in my yard.
Yeah.
So that of course makes a difference.
Yep.
And so I'm willing to hear mm-hmm. that. And I think that becomes part of the process, is to be able to say, okay. And to kind of walk through that, where, you know, to say villains and grabbing kids, okay, on the other side of that is the equation of, okay, is there a process, and is the process working, and is it expedient? Does it have to be expedient?
Right.
You follow me? Is it effective? And I think, you know, those become the difficult dynamics. Is mm-hmm. there a process versus this, you know, hole in the wall type perspective that we just turn an eye away, and you know what happens. And here again, we're talking about a complex dynamic, and I appreciate the ability to do so.
And what happens for me mm-hmm. when you start diving into the complexity of any given topic?
Sure,
this is just one very zoomed in topic on one,
and there's specific, a ton that we could address.
And there's so many branches to that conversation,
right? Sure,
that my brain starts to short circuit. It starts because it's like, okay, we're digging, and it's just getting more and more complex in this one thing. And now we gotta have all these other conversations and fight the tide there
mm-hmm.
of polarization, and I just start to short circuit. I'm like, I don't have time for this. This is stressful. Brings me anxiety. It's like there's no way we can solve all these problems.
Yeah,
you know,
and I see that is a difference. That is a difference between us. I feel myself getting more passionate and excited, and I am, and I'll admit there's a naivety in that, but yet there's also a passion in that that says, okay, we got to be having these conversations mm-hmm. in such a way that says, okay, if this isn't working, what do we need to do?
Yeah.
And just because somebody has a new idea or a different idea doesn't make it, well, that's dumb.
Right.
And I think that mm-hmm. can be our mm-hmm. tendency where change is concerned.
Makes me think of our Chesterton's Fence episode where
sure.
the fence may need to move.
Yes.
Right? And it's worth considering, but
but we have to know why it's there.
Right.
Yes. Right. Or why there's a purpose in constructing a fence.
Yep.
If we're going to.
Right.
And what do we desire to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we create a process that recognizes people will be impacted?
Yeah.
By this fence.
Yeah.
And granted that, you know, from an immigration standpoint, there's a lot of quite a parallel there. But at the same time. Yeah.
Wow. At the same time, we said at the same time.
We did. I said duty once too, but that's all right too.
Okay. Our duty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. That's an inside joke in our family.
Not so much in ours.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend you didn't just make a poop joke during a politics episode.
A little bit better place.
Hey, if the shoe fits.
You know? I'm not trying to digress, but...
I'm just thinking about the fence thing and like and politics in general, and kind of the the lowest common denominator thing that can kind of happen sometimes, where well, this side wants a fence, this side doesn't, this side wants a tall fence, this side wants a short fence. So we end up with a fence that has some tall parts, some short parts, some missing parts. And we go, there, we did it. And it's completely ineffective. Mm. And it took so many resources, right? Mm. And it took so much time. Mm. And it took so many people's focus away from important things to arrive at something that's useless, right? Or maybe this 2 foot span, yeah, a rabbit's not going to get through there, but it just has to walk, you know, 10 feet that way or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like we end up with solutions sometimes that are watered down and don't solve the problem, but they allow politics to, you know, politicians to say, look, I did my job. I promised you a fence. Here's your fence. And they can now operate in that. And be like, I can't help the fact that, you know, there's parts missing. That's because of this bad guy. But I did my part. See, there's there's clearly a board here standing. And it's
a lone board. I got
yeah,
you.
Okay. Yeah, it's like I did my job, you know. And it's just so easy to, I mean, yeah, we've all seen political commercials, right? They're ridiculous. They're ridiculous.
That's a favorite time of year to watch television,
yeah.
Isn't it?
No, that's my favorite time of year to not yet. Yeah. Yes.
You're so short circuited. You're not even catching my sarcasm morning.
Yeah.
That's okay.
You're right. My brain just starts whirring and it's like, make it stop. But I actually enjoy this conversation and will enjoy it. It's not about not wanting to have the conversation. I think this is probably a good introductory episode to the whole concept of kind of where we come from, how we see it, you know, because that is a big part that drives me is I don't have the ability to process it all the way that I think it should be in those conversations. My desire is to escape them if it looks like we're just going to do talking points, because there's just not, I don't have a desire to ruin our friendship by saying, I think you're just quoting a talking point that probably is lacking nuance, you know?
And I guess that's where I come from in this process of, and I think that's kind of how we started, you know, it's tell me about how you, what your perspective is on politics. And I think, you know, yeah, it can still become defensive in a heartbeat. But yet at the same time, I think we have to be able to have these conversations. And I think, yes, there will be a certain level of futility maybe in some of it, but not all of it. And the ability to have the conversation in the first place is important.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how I see it in that process. And I do think, you know, I'm just putting these ones out there. I'm not saying these are topics, but you know, whether it is, you know, abortion, Roe v. Wade type dynamics, whether it is, gun control, whether it is taxation, you know, versus, you know, fair tax, that kind of thing, you know, it's like, yeah, we need to be able to recognize there's a complexity to this. And, you know, and I think that's our tendency, regardless of the topic, is to go to the polarized dynamic. Guns kill people. You know, that kind of polarized thought. It's like, okay, or just do away with how a person sees the Second Amendment. You know, those become the you know, what the NRA may use, you know, or, you know, what the individual who when we don't have a awareness, when we don't have accurate information, I believe our tendency is to go to one pole or the other. But I think as a person develops an awareness, you know, they're able to find that, recognize the complexity. Okay. Yeah. Abortion is a complex dynamic, you know, in the sense of, yes, you know, on one end, abortion in a, as a definition, okay, is a child, is an infant, and people will define that life, okay, differently, but yet a life is ending, that could have. And so that's on one end of a spectrum. On the other end is that whole aspect. Well, what about the 10-year-old that, you know, the incest, the, you know, those, the, and yes, we can always talk about that from a sense of, percentages, how much, you know, so what is the greater good dynamic? But yet at the same time, it's very complex. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have those conversations is an important thing. Mm-hmm. And to recognize, yes, based on my circumstance, how I grew up, what I experienced, I'm likely going to align with one side or the other. Mm-hmm. So how do we, and I think that becomes the more difficult part as government tends to get bigger, is it's more difficult to recognize the complexity. Because we just want to have a rule that deals with that. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all experienced that process of, okay, in a certain business or relationship dynamic, there's typically people that people don't want to deal with. So the whole group gets addressed. So one person isn't necessarily singled out, or they're, you know, you don't have to deal with that one issue. Mm-hmm. You follow me in that? And I think that's what complexity is like. We still have to be able to address that dynamic, mm-hmm. in such a way that has compassion. Okay. And yet at the same time, it's complex. And so does that become an exercise in futility? I don't think it always has to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, again, that's a big part of this podcast, is to say, hey, there's room for the conversations.
Yes.
Let's have them. So I'm definitely about it. I think, I mean, man, you hit it several topics that deserve an episode, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. There.
And we didn't even discuss Trump and Biden yet. I mean, come on now. No.
How did we even talk about politics?
Exactly.
That? Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-oh, I see the sparks flying again.
Yeah, just so many thoughts. But again, I think this is a good introductory episode to just talk about talking about it. And I just think about certain topics like abortion. It's just unbelievable polarized to where there's so much anger and vitriol on both sides. I feel like there are some topics, how I see it, there are some topics where the right, right wing, throws more mud than the left, and they're the angrier side. And I feel like there are some topics where the left throws more mud and is angrier. And, but abortion, I feel like there's anger on both sides. And I happen to agree with the right wing side. I happen to agree with it's a life. I happen to agree with that is a life that we're ending. And if that's how you believe, this is the thing that frustrates me, is that if you're on the other side of the fence and you look at me and you say, if you truly believe that's a life that's ending, and that you're going to be upset about that because it's murder, right? Sure. We don't typically just have a blasé attitude about murder. Mm-hmm. We typically think it's very wrong. Just no matter who you are, if you look at somebody and say, that person killed that person who was innocent and they murdered them, we typically are very passionate about that's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. And in order to balance that, there's so much anger on the other, my body, you know, and like my rights and all that stuff. And it's like, there's only one way you can balance that righteous indignation is try to come up with some other righteous indignation about it's my body, it's my rights, whatever. And don't get me wrong, I know there are people that I love and respect on that perspective. And I want to have that conversation with them, both.
Okay.
Both sides of that.
Gotcha.
I'm just saying we've so quickly vilified the other side. And often there is some deeply held truths that are at challenge here. And so if you say, you need to stop believing that way and believe my way, it's like saying, for me, again, how I see it, my perspective, is like saying, you need to stop believing murder is wrong and come over to my side and see that the things that my rights as a person matter. Yes, mm-hmm. I agree. Up mm-hmm. until it means murdering somebody else. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's a talking point. And it gets people so fired up when they hear that. Mm-hmm. Well, you're whatever. There's talking points on both sides. And
exactly. And again, it's just, and it's interesting, even just observing you and why, and you know, and in that process, I'm recognizing, you know, even a difference maybe of view where anger's concerned, because I don't necessarily see anger as its own entity. I see it as passion. Mm-hmm. You follow me? That there's a passion behind that, and there's a reason why that person feels that way so strongly, and they're willing to speak up about that over most any other thing. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And I think when we're willing to recognize, not that we're going to change that person, but I think there is something to be said for recognizing, oh, wow, I see that passion. Tell me where that passion comes from. Mm-hmm. Help me understand that. Because I realize we're probably on different views, but I want to understand that passion. And granted, there may be a talking point that comes. You follow me? In that sense of, okay, yeah, my body, 10-year-old child, we're going to make them have a baby just because. Mm. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And you know, so yes, that becomes a talking point. Mm-hmm. But it's likely more than that, because it might be a personal experience for that person. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there needs to be a way to address that in such a way that at least that person by us in that moment is feeling understood. Mm-hmm. Because I think when we can do that, when we can have that conversation, then suddenly it's not about that one facet that labels you, you know, right-wing homophobe or me, you know, liberal, you know, from the Northeast, whatever, you know, that kind of thing, to where there's a point where we're able to say, okay, and granted, is that naive on my part? Pollyanna, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, maybe to a certain degree, but I think we have to be able to have these mature conversations in such a way that says, okay, yeah, I can see where you're coming from and I understand where your passion comes from.
Yeah.
And valid point.
I think they're, yeah, I'm all about all that. I think, again, that's why I enjoy the conversations with you specifically, because I think you can have them in a calm way that says that.
Mm.
Where I, you know, I might, you know, yeah, I might get fired up, whatever. I think there are some topics that will be difficult for us to do justice to, because we're just very... I mean, abortion is one of those where I think we both feel very strongly about it being wrong, for, you know, for reasons. And so it's going to be hard to have that conversation in a way that is able to adequately describe the polarized viewpoints, because from our how we see it, some of those viewpoints are hard to even swallow. It's like, I don't, you know what I mean?
I do.
But I do think there are some topics. Now, I'm not even saying that's off the table, although it's a tough one. But I think there are some topics where we could definitely do, you know, do it justice, well, you know, in terms of perspectives and talking about it. Guns, I think, is one of those, because I know, you know, like, I know you. I know that you and John like shooting, you know, the story about the groundhogs.
Groundhogs, Chris,
I mean, I love that part of your family at the same time. I don't own a gun. I've never had a gun. I've never gone shooting. It's not part of my culture.
We're still friends,
even. And we're still... Can you believe that? And I look at things like school shootings, and it's just painful that that's just a normal thing in our country. And again, these quotes that I've heard about, like, it's worse here than any other place in terms of school shootings. I think that's true. I believe that's true. Maybe it's not, you know, who knows, depending on what sources and all that. Again, I think that's a topic that we could totally have a good conversation about, and we still might. Yeah.
And I guess my thing is, I don't want us, you and I, choosing to sidestep those topics.
Yes.
In such a way, because I do believe from my perspective, that becomes irresponsible to a certain degree. I'm recognizing, yes, we may have the same point, but I think from my perspective, it becomes about modeling how we have difficult conversations. Mm-hmm. And even if that means you and I looking for topics like gun control, where we might be on separate sides of an equation, you follow me in that sense. And granted, I don't want to blame anyone. I want to be able to say, okay, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. And so what do we do? And I think that's a great idea. So yes, thank you for sharing your political viewpoints with me this morning, Justin. It's been a pleasure.
I got to rewire my brain when I get back to sanity, but you're welcome. Thank you for bringing this up and the surprise topic.
Yeah. Well, I think that's from my perspective. That's how I see it. But yeah, I also recognize that if you and I can do it, I think, you know, we're able to recognize, okay, yeah, sometimes there's going to be some surprise topics that come into our lives. And I think it was a fun time. So know that I appreciate you sharing. That's how I see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.